You are a slut pig.
Hello, y'all. I am Christian Gray Snow, and this is the Slut Pig Podcast, a podcast from the dip. And today, me and my little horse voice that I have, we're talking about the one thing that's on everybody's mind this week, and the one thing only, and that is Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, okay? Small talk is like small dicks, and nobody likes a small dick, so let's get started. All right, Bravo fans, including myself, went crazy on Monday night when Peacock unexpectedly dropped the first three episodes of Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. Because, you know, let me tell you, we've been waiting since what? Like the end of April, whenever they like almost seriously jetted off and were filming together. We've been waiting all these months to get this. And even earlier this week, I was like, oh my God, it's like all I can do to get to Thursday. Like, I can't wait for Thursday. Should I call into work on Thursday just in case? Like, you know, I just want to stay home and like watch it all day. And karma got me for that because I ended up actually being sick on Monday and stayed home, and they didn't drop it till the end of the night anyway when I was getting ready to go to bed for work on Tuesday. And I stayed up till midnight watching regardless. However, they dropped the first three episodes. And, you know, now when I was writing my notes, there were only three episodes out. As I'm recording this, there are four episodes out. So the moment your girl gets done recording here, guess what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to go be watching episode four. But we're going to talk about the first three episodes today. You know, and like I said, the title is Ultimate Girls Trip. And I feel very comfortable saying that the word ultimate is an understatement. Because y'all, this shit is so iconic, I cannot even explain it to you. So I'm going to recap some of my favorite moments from the first three episodes, plus some of the moments that you guys said that you liked. I asked you on Instagram this week what your favorite moments were. But right now, we're going to skip back to the beginning, episode one. So just seeing all the women arrive and get on this private jet together to Turks and Caicos was like, it awakened my soul. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I felt like I was dead and fucking resurrected, you know? And just like seeing them interact, like they all obviously know each other, but it was just I've never felt the jitters that way like I have. And Ramona, look, I cannot believe two things. Ramona, number one, I understand that maybe Roni has had its success, of course, you know, but all the shows have had their heyday, all the cities, you know. However, Ramona really likes to forget the fact that Real Housewives of Orange County had been airing for three fucking years before Roni even saw the light of day, okay? So I don't know, like, how many times people have to tell Ramona that. Like, yes, Ramona, no one's trying to take away from the fact that Roni was iconic, and she said it was a cool water show instead of a water cooler show. When she said cool water show, it reminded me of that cheap cool water cologne. Does anybody remember that from back in the day? But I don't know. It's just like, she really, really loves to forget that there was a whole cast of women and producers and executives and crew and everything that were shooting and airing content for 3 years before she came along. And I'm just like, you know, I love Ramona, but is anyone home upstairs? I really, sometimes we got to wonder. But now my girl 50 Cent, she let Ramona know. She said, yeah, maybe you came first, but have you ever been number one? Because Atlanta, she's like, Atlanta, we're international, baby. She's like, we're number one international. Okay, boom. Eat that, Ramona. Ramona probably wanted to jump out of the fucking plane on that one, to be quite honest. And number two, then Ramona called Kenya a bitch before the plane even landed. But as we all would have expected, Kenya set her straight real fucking quick, which I loved. Check it out.
What you're not going to do on this trip is call me a bitch. I don't know how crazy you are in New York, but bitch, we're not going to do this on this plane or anywhere else.
You said you were pregnant. Who else heard? And I was getting divorced.
However, of course, we all know it didn't end there with Ramona. She let Kenya have the biggest bedroom because on the flight down, Cynthia did this whole, that's why I love Cynthia. Cynthia's ass, she can be dramatic and really, really petty and not get over stuff, but she can also be like tacky as shit. And I love it. Like her bringing out this big ass cutout of a cardboard printout of Brooklyn with a fucking red ribbon. And it's like, everybody, can I have your attention on this 8-foot long aircraft? You know, because there's so many people here. Everyone, this is Kenya's first time leaving her child, so we're going to cut the cord. And she made Kenya just, like, cut this little red ribbon. Like, look, it is so cute. It's thoughtful. I adore it. But only fucking Cynthia, only the woman who thought of a friendship contract would think to bring a cardboard baby printout and a red fucking ribbon ceremony on a private jet to an island. Okay, only Cynthia. And this, and for that reason exactly is why Cynthia should not be going anywhere. We'll get to that later, though, about the fact that I love seeing Cynthia on this series, but, like, my heart aches, my body aches just watching her thriving on here, knowing that she's not going to be on the next season of Atlanta. It just makes me so sad. Okay, so, but back to Ramona. So because of that big, elaborate, you know, the printout and the ceremony and everything that Cynthia talked about, you know, with Kenya leaving Brooklyn, Ramona said, okay, yeah, absolutely, you know, Kenya can have the biggest bedroom, which, to be honest, I'm surprised Ramona even did that, like, because Ramona is so damn selfish. I'm sure she was going to be like, I mean, sorry, we've all had kids, you know? I left my kid. I mean, my kid's 19, and I still get devastated every day. It never gets easier. You're going to have to deal with it, you know? I'm sorry. I still think I deserve the biggest bedroom because I've been leaving my kid for 19 years. This is your first time. But no. So Ramona's like, yeah, she can have, you know, the biggest bedroom, but make no mistake. The moment they got to the house, Ramona's like, ooh, let me go pee. And then made a mad dash to look for the second best bedroom. And are we surprised? No, we're used to seeing it, but it's still so funny to see it because it's like, while we're used to seeing it and seeing people like Lou Ann, who has dealt with Ramona's antics for years, seeing her deal with it again, we haven't seen Kyle and Kenya and Cynthia and Teresa and Melissa and all, you know, we haven't seen them react to it. So they're like, what the fuck does this bitch think she's doing? Like, who the fuck does she think she is? So it's just funny to see how flabbergasted they are at how relentlessly selfish Ramona is. And really, honestly, that is the magic of Ultimate Girls Trip, is just seeing all these women who, like, I feel, you know, we as viewers feel confident saying that we know and we love and we kind of know their antics and their quirks and their good traits and their bad traits and how they thrive in scenes and the types of, you know, environments they don't thrive in. And now we're seeing them in this all new element for the first time, and probably for like a decade, because we've been watching most of them for this long. And it's just so refreshing because it's like we see the women that we know, but we're seeing this new side of them that all these years we weren't seeing. And it's so refreshing and just intriguing to watch. I absolutely love it. So after Ramona gets to her room, you know, the other women tell her, like, that's not fair. We're not playing this game. Lou's like, bitch, this ain't Roni anymore. We're not doing this. You got to get the fuck out. And Ramona's like, I would literally rather die than leave this room. Like, Ramona would have rather died and been buried in that room than have left it. You know, I'm surprised she didn't just start shitting on the floor, you know, to mark her territory, because we all know, God bless her, she does have a little bowel issue. And I'm surprised she didn't just use that to her advantage and be like, do you really want this room now? Probably not. And I think it was Melissa said, she's like, it's Ramona's world and we're just living in it. And like, not really, but if there are cameras around and it's a production that Ramona's on, it's absolutely Ramona's world and y'all are just living in it. And then Ramona, surprisingly, was the first one we saw naked. Within a few minutes of her getting to her room, the crew walks in there and Ramona's literally got titties and puss, everything out. Just like spread eagle, not spread eagle, but she's just showering and looks dead ass in the fucking camera. Like, yeah, let me tell y'all one more time. This is my room. My vagina has seen the whole fucking room, has seen me naked. It's mine. I'm not leaving. Okay. Also in episode one, your girl, me, about had a heart attack because they showed Kyle Richards reading off of my Instagram page, straight the fuck up. Well, not straight the fuck up because it was blurred, but it was me. Y'all may remember my friend of the show, Anthony Dominic. He's been here on the show, on my pod a couple times. He revealed tea back in April when it was all being filmed, you know, about the argument that went down between Kenya and Ramona on the flight down. Who did he find out from? I don't know. But, you know, all I did was post it on my Instagram to talk about it. And I guess whenever the women were notified by, like, producers or on their phone or something that a lot of things, you know, were being leaked in real time, that's when Kyle went to my Instagram to read a post. Now, do I know if Kyle just went to my Instagram because she thought, you know what, there's TB and Leak. Let me go see if Christian's talked about it because she would know where to go. Maybe. I hope so. Or did a producer tell her I'd posted something that they needed to go check it out? I don't know. But I will say this. A producer did text me while they were on the island asking if I knew how the leaks were getting out. I played dumb. Anyway, it was super exciting to see my blurred out Instagram on episode one of Real Housewives of Ultimate Girls Trip. So many people messaged me. I do want to get a shout out to Jonathan Chandler. He was the first person to message me, but he didn't ruin the surprise. He was watching the episode and he was ahead of me. And he was like, okay, 30 minutes into this episode, you're going to see something that you really, really love. And I was like, what? And I thought it was going to be just, I don't know, like a quote or a flashback to Vicky or something. I don't know. And when it showed that, I was literally in bed getting ready for, you know, to go to sleep. And I leaped the fuck up. I turned the lights on. So thank you, Jonathan, for notifying me that that was coming so I could be prepared, but also still allowing me to be surprised. It was really sweet. Also, shout out to Anthony and Kyle for helping me make my Housewives debut. Okay. Now, y'all know every episode I say small talk is like small dick and nobody likes a small dick. And I think that theme rang very true, even in Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, because Luann was talking about the recent Real Housewives of Atlanta storyline with the stripper on Cynthia's bachelorette party, Bolo, and his enormous dick. She had this to say.
It like goes down to like, maybe like almost maybe to like his that. Knees.
Can we all agree that we just love hearing the Countess's take on some cock? But like the real entertainment is when she talked about him like fucking... She talked about him fucking a melon, okay?
The video someone sent me, he was on a cantaloupe. And he puts a hole in the melon, and then the melon. And the melon explodes.
Stop! Oh my God! Really?
And the way that Bolo broke that melon the fuck up, we're going to take a quick break right now. All right, the highlight of episode two for me was undoubtedly the walk that Teresa and Cynthia took together. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I asked on Instagram this week, what were some of y'all's favorite moments from the episode so far, the first three episodes? And several of y'all responded, the relationship between Teresa and Cynthia, the walk between Teresa and Cynthia, the conversation Teresa and Cynthia had. So a lot of us seem to really be touched by this. You know, just seeing Tree open up to 50 Cent was just really, really beautiful. Like, I mean, I think that all these years, I was talking to a friend about this last night. You know, all these years, I feel like Teresa's always on the defense. Like, every single season of New Jersey, it's Teresa versus the world, you know, in some way or another. And it's just so nice to see her, like, have her guard down and to just be, like, able to talk about how she, like, feels without having to, like, defend herself or try feel like she's trying to prove a point. And again, you know, the best thing about the whole series is their ability to break the fourth wall. But I just think that seeing, again, Teresa feel like she has like a new sense of freedom, but still with the cameras around is such an interesting thing to watch play out. They immediately start talking about, you know, what they're thinking of the trip and if it was if it is or isn't what they thought it would be. And Teresa immediately says that she felt more support from Kenya at their dinner table the night before than she does from her own cast. And that's because Kenya defended Teresa when Ramona said that Teresa had no brain, calling her a scarecrow. And Teresa does have a point. Like, Melissa didn't say shit. Melissa is an asshole for not speaking up right there. I'm sorry. And like Teresa says, she's like, you know, I go off like the Godfather. She was like, you do not go against the family. And like Teresa said, Melissa's never seen The Godfather. Just saying. I also posted this on my Instagram the other day, but I will say it again. Cynthia Bailey knows what's up. What she said about Teresa is spot fucking on, period.
Teresa Giudice is a real one. I got mad respect for her and all the things that happened to her. And she came out stronger, happy, and in love.
All right, we can't talk about episode two without talking about Cynthia's Bailey Q, where she wanted to play a shady game where all the women basically agree or vote on these shady awards. You know, they collectively pass them out and nominate and hand them out to women at the table. Questions like who's the sexiest, who's the smartest, etc. But my girl Kyle was not into it.
It's 2021.
Who has the best butt? And we've seen a lot of asses. Oh.
Yeah. We're going to vote who the prettiest woman at the table is? I'm not comfortable with that.
Listen, I love Kyle, but I wish that she just, I don't know if she was like drunk here and she just wasn't feeling it. And I appreciate her speaking up if she's not comfortable, but it's just to be silly. It's just to be shady. We're here for 7 days to film a TV show. Let's just go with it. So I kind of understood where Cynthia was coming from. I kind of understood why Cynthia was annoyed that she was getting pushback on her game. But Cynthia went from being annoyed to like straight up mad when Kenya rolled in like 30 minutes late to the dinner. And see, all the women are sitting there waiting for Kenya. They're like, where's Kenya? Let's not eat till Kenya gets here. You know, class with the countess, proper etiquette. Gotta wait till everybody gets here before we start eating. And then Kenya rolls in, passes through the kitchen on her way to the dinner table, grabs a plate of mac and cheese, and joins the table 30 minutes late. And Cynthia about got that private jet and flew the fuck home. Cynthia said, okay, I'm done. Bye. So, I don't know. I thought it was just so funny that Cynthia got really tore up over that. But the event ended up turning out to be fun. They ended up having really positive conversation. It was nice. It was nice. I liked it. All right. The next day, episode 3, Luann stops by Cynthia's room because, you know, Cynthia's ready to talk about she's pissed off. She's pissed off from the night before that Kenya came in with her mac and cheese. She came in late. You know, that they were giving her pushback on her game. And she said she is like, she's annoyed with Kyle, that she's mainly mad at Kenya for not backing her up. Cause she's like, look, we're friends. And I already did that super sweet little baby cardboard print thing on the way down here in front of everybody. And now you can't even like show up to my event on time. You know, the producers have given us all like one event to plan. You can't show up to my event on time. You show up and go get food before anyone else has. You then don't apologize. You then don't act like you care about my game. She's like, you know, we're all here like in groups except for Kyle. She's like, but you're making me feel like I am the one here by myself. And so like, I kind of get where Cynthia's coming from. I really, really do. And then at the breakfast table, Kyle's like, you know, I just really want to say I'm sorry, Cynthia. And Cynthia's like, yeah, you apologized a few times already. Cynthia is so damn shady. I love it. But the best part is that since she was so damn pissed off from the night before, she's now at breakfast time deciding to enjoy her potato salad that she made for the Bailey queue. It appears to be a little bit iconic to me, okay? And speaking of potato salad, Kenya comes down after she has a virtual hearing for her court case, you know, regarding divorce or custody with Mark, something. And she's obviously pretty tore up over what's going on, and rightfully so. She says that the whole thing's very public because, you know, it's a public forum. So the public's getting access to her finances and stuff like that, which, by the way, I never knew this was going on. So if anybody out there was listening and heard what Kenya makes doing Housewives of Atlanta, I would love to know. Like, Kenya, I'm sorry you're upset, but I'm all about Housewives salary information and I want to know it. Sorry. So if anybody knows, please share. So yeah, you know, she's obviously very upset, but Cynthia said, I don't really give a shit. Cynthia said, sorry, don't care. She said, baby Brooklyn, who? Mark, who? All I heard, Cynthia said, all I see and smell and hear and taste and care about is this goddamn potato salad. She said, you can get the fuck out of here with your baby problems. Not my problem. She said, you didn't want to play my shady game. I don't want to give a fuck about your custody battle. Like, Cynthia was not having it. She was paying her absolute dust, and I thought it was fucking hilarious.
I love Ken, but I'm upset with her right now. So the fact that she has come downstairs and is upset, it's kind of like when I were just both upset. You didn't concern yourself about my feelings, so it's kind of hard for me to concern myself about yours.
We also see Lou hitting on the house concierge, Michael, who said on camera that he is married. And honestly, listen, I'm not into being a homewrecker. But Lou makes it look easy, all right? She said a little flirt never hurt nobody. He's married, not dead, is what she said.
Michael's a very nice guy. He's an attractive guy. And I can feel when a guy likes to flirt.
Tu parles français aussi?
Oui.
Ah, tout le monde, on peut parler français.
Pourquoi tu parles français?
Parce que je suis sexy.
Tu es quoi?
sexy.
Sexy?
Yeah, because I'm sexy. That's why I speak French.
Are you married?
I am married, yeah.
Yeah, no, I just saw your wedding band.
I'm married.
He's married, but he's not dead. A man can flirt.
You've been amazing.
And I can only hope one of these women ends up hooking with someone on this trip. I would literally live. That's all I want. But yeah, Michael, he already seen Lou's titties. He already grabbed her when she ain't had nothing but a towel wrapped around her. Listen. Michael's wife might want to give Lou a call. That's all I'm saying. In this episode, we also see, I love this, Teresa and Melissa going at about Melissa's first years on the show and how she got her start on the show. Melissa claims that producers were reaching out to her about joining because they knew that she was Teresa's sister-in-law and that she just didn't give Tria a heads up that she may be joining simply because they weren't friends and had nothing to do with each other at the time. And then Melissa claims that before that infamous christening scene, Teresa held out on signing her contract till just a few hours before because she was so mad that they had agreed to come on the show. But Teresa claims on the other fucking end that Andy fucking Cohen was in her ear telling her that Melissa was in his DMs or emails or whatever the fuck existed back then, begging him to get on the show. And that's why Teresa was mad, because she felt like Melissa was trying behind her back via her boss and then like a network executive to get on the show and to then eventually take her down and, you know, put her in a bad light because they were in a bad space at the time. Melissa claims none of this is true. She's like, they just reached out to me and I didn't tell you anything because we weren't talking. All I fucking know is I need Andy Cohen to set the record straight. Do we need like a Andy and just them two on Watch What Happens Live to talk about it? Like a sit down? I don't know. Like, did Melissa really reach out to him or not? Like, Danielle's always said the same thing, that, you know, Melissa was always in her DM. So, or is Tree confused? I really want to know. We close out episode 3 as the ladies are having dinner with an astrologer who stops by. And no sooner than the astrologer's ass hits the chair at the table, Melissa's like, oh my God. Oh my God. You know who you look like? That beautiful woman, that cartoon. What's her name? Cruella de Vil.
We walked in. You looked like that beautiful woman, who, the cartoon character, for 1 second. Like, you look gorgeous. Like, she puts the blue eye makeup like you too. What were we just saying? With
Betty
the
Boo?
With the white. No, that she has all the Dalmatians.
Cruella de Vil.
Yes.
That's what I need, is a Dalmatian.
That is not a compliment.
Yes, it is. She's fabulous. She wears a big black fur.
I was like, bitch, I know you did not just tell a woman that she looks like Cruella de Vil. That is not a compliment. And thank God Kenya is like, girl, that is not something nice to say. You better watch your back. This astrologer lady's about to tear your astrology all the fuck up, okay? The astrologer gets started and she tells these women some bizarre ass shit. She tells Kyle she was a man in her past life and that she was a general, which oddly enough, Kyle's like, oh, I've been told that before. But then she tells Kenya, we have some wonderful information for you. You know, and like, I'm like, oh my God, something good is coming. She's going to tell like Kenya that Bravo is giving her a 10-year contract. She's going to tell her that Mark is going to give her full custody and just leave her the fuck alone. She's going to give her something good. And this is what the fuck she said.
Do you have some wonderful information for you? Okay. Now, I know that you have had, and it made sense to me when I saw not only your past life, but something you're meant to do in this life. You're supposed to be a shaman.
I have to agree with Kenya. And I think this might be some BS. And I am all into like psychics, mediums, astrologers, you name it. Like, I mean, I've even been to see the Long Island medium, Teresa Caputo, live multiple times. So like, I'm really into it. Okay. But something here was off. All right. So I just want to say, you know, before we wrap things up, the best part about all of, you know, this, just the whole Ultimate Girls Trip series and it dropping early and, or just dropping it all, it is so nice to see so many people in this, in our, like our housewives community, like all having fun and no one's like arguing about anything. Like, we're not fighting over who leaked a story to Radar. We're not, you know, fighting over who threw the glass first. Like, it is really just, There's good, healthy drama in the show, but not enough to be causing so much like discourse, like, or so much like horrible, evil discourse online. And so I just want to say it's so nice to like be able to have a show that all of us are just enjoying and laughing and sharing funny memes. Again, for me, being able to be roughly shown, can I even say the word shown, in that first episode was so fucking cool. I had so many people reach out and it was just so exciting. So all I can say is I'm very much so looking forward to watching episode 4 the moment that I get off of here. And I can't fucking wait for the second installment next year where we get to see some of the major players from over the years. We get to see Jill Zarin, Dorinda Medley. We get to see my girl, Vicky Gumbelson, Tamra Judge. I mean, it's going to be fucking insane. If you haven't, y'all, I highly suggest just pay the $4.99 for Peacock. It is so fucking worth it. I saw some people complaining that they had to go and get a subscription for it, but it's like, I'm about to pay for it for y'all because it's literally just a gift. Do yourself the favor. Go watch this weekend. Have a safe weekend. Besos.